माधव कुन्यविहादि जय राधा माधव पुण्य विहारी गोपीजनवल्लभ गिरिवरदाजी शोरनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन शोरनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना Jamuna tira vana chali
भगवते
Vasudevaya. I welcome all of you for this Bhagavatam class, which has the heading Eternal Longing. It is about one of the very important spiritual attitudes and mindsets which help us as we advance in Krishna consciousness. So I think, yes, we can close those windows here on this side so that the construction music is not reaching us. You will be happy to hear those who live in Radhadesh. Please don't become irritated by the construction noise. Prabhupada was always very pleased when he heard these sounds, because he saw the buildings coming up and giving shelters to so many souls and thereby fulfilling his mission. So, but we can close the windows on that side. Good. So, eternal longing, one very important mood for those who chant, as I hope to be able to present to you. So, a verse which expresses this mood is here for you, 1842. Please repeat to me, repeat with me. I will go a little fast so that we can end on time. Tvayi me nanya vishaya, matir madhu pate sakre, ratim udvahatat adha, gangevo gam udhanvati, tvayi me nanya vishaya, matir madhu pate sakre, ratim udvahatat adha, gange vogam udanvati. Yes, can please someone else chant? A Vaishnavi, please. Vishaya, unalloyed, matihi, attention, madhupate, O Lord of Madhu,
O Lord of Madhu,
Asakre, continuously, Ratim, attraction, Udvahata,
may overflow,
Adha,
directly,
Ganga,
Ganges,
Eva,
like.
Ogham,
flows.
Udanvati,
down to the sea.
Translation.
O Lord of Madhu.
Wonderful to see it.
O Lord of Madhu. As the Ganga forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anything and anyone else. This is a prayer of Srimati Kunti Devi, who was conscious that she felt her affection was drawn to her family members, and that was a problem because there was a family conflict with two sides, you know, being at loggerhead with each other. Two sides of the same family, and she had members on both sides, so therefore her heart was torn between these two people. For instance, when Arjuna entered into the ultimate combat where only one was would live afterwards with Karna, Kunti was beside herself with grief because both Arjuna and Karna shared equal affection. Both were her sons. Arjuna and Karna didn't know that they were brothers, but Kunti Devi knew. So in this, this is just one example. There were many other family members on both sides of this deadly combat, and she began to understand that she suffered due to a bondage of emotions. Her emotions were bound to two sides, and one would die. And no matter where she placed her affection, left or right, or you know, there would be tremendous misery. And in her realization, she turns to Krishna and says, O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows into the sea without any hindrance, let my attraction be drawn to you continuously without being diverted to anyone else. That was her prayer. So here's some of the purport. Perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is diverted towards the transcendental loving service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada makes a point. Well, does this mean if I love Krishna, it's an exclusive love and I hate everyone else or am cold towards everyone else? No, Srila Prabhupada informs us. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements, like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of attraction to others. Because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. Desire cannot be negated, but in devotional service, the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord in place of desire for sense gratification. The so-called affection for family, society, country, etc. consists of different phases of sense gratification. When this desire is changed for the satisfaction of the Lord, it is called devotional service. Prabhupada gives an example. In the Bhagavad Gita, when we can see that Arjuna did not desire to fight with his brothers and relations just to satisfy his own personal desires. But when he heard the message of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he changed his decision and served the Lord because the Lord wanted to do this. So here you can see Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Virashesha Shunyavari Haskatyade Shatari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So, here we can see something very interesting, thought-provoking, and perhaps even challenging for some of us. Kunti Devi prays for a very special blessing. She wants that her affection, which is distributed to huge family members, is going directly to Krishna. Here, when you love Krishna, it really also means you love others. It's almost like when you give water to the root of a tree, the various branches and leaves of the tree are not ignored with this. Oh, he's only giving root to the water to the root, and now the branches and leaves of the tree will dry out. That is wrong. That is wrong. It's by giving water to the root, you supply everything else on the tree. So, in the same way, a devotee, by becoming more Krishna conscious, he understands everyone is part of Krishna. And is, as Prabhupada says, he doesn't even want to harm an ant, you know. And there are, of course, examples in our shastras of devotees who jumped over ants to not trample them and kill them. Yes, but still, there is something like one-pointedness. Everything goes to Krishna. Krishna's on the first place. My dear devotee, such a type of prayer is coming only from the hearts and then lips of confidential devotees of the Lord. And with this I want to bring my first thought provoking point in this discovery lecture. I'm taking this from His Holiness Keshava Maharaj and have thought a little and elaborated on it a little bit. There are conventional devotees, committed devotees, and confidential devotees. Let us, in order to see where we might be, ask the question, what is the focus of a conventional devotee? The focus is on their own identity and social position and the externals of whatever they are following. No, I see this very much in various towns of the world. I don't want to give names because then the devotees might become sad when they hear what comes now. Yeah, they think more like a Christian, you know. I want to also belong to this community of ISKCON. Krishna is part of my life. On Sunday, when I come to the Sunday feast, or if I can't make it on Sunday, one day in a week, to be a devotee means to become a devotee means to be part of a social circle. Oh, my uncle and my mother is also a devotee, or my friend is a devotee. No, sometimes conventional devotees make the decision who will be their guru on such social consideration. My best friend is the disciple of Balaram Swami. I'm the best friend of that's my best friend. I will also, you know, then we remain together as a group. This is a conventional devotee. You find them in all the world's religions. You know, they follow out of convention. Convention is something like a social understanding, you know. Then you have committed devotees. Where are they focused on? Well, they are not so much interested in where do they belong. They are all about formation of the heart. They are focused on their practice, that is sarana bhakti and seva. No? Such committed devotees like very much to stay in the temple because there they can use all their senses actively in the service of Krishna. Conventional devotees prefer the congregation as a place, no? And then come devotees, which I believe we are all have heard about, and we become inspired by their examples. These are confidential devotees. They are focused on Krishna's personality, how Krishna is, his charm, you know, his enchanting nature, his name, his qualities. All this pervades their mind more than anything else. Have you understood from this brief description the distinction between these three types of devotee? Where are you? No need to answer. I think it's not always so easy with these distinctions. Sometimes we are perhaps more here, sometimes we are in more there, and sometimes we are even inclined to this confidential aspects. Where do you think is Queen Kunti?
Confidential
devotee, yes. Why? Because she turns away from her social field. Yadu clan, no? The Pandavas, Hare Krishna, Clara. And she prays, let all my attention be fixed on Krishna exclusively. No? In this prayer? Yes? Should I read it again for you? Under perhaps this perspective? Yeah, I will do this. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else.
Wow!
This is a confidential devotee. Yes. So, a very important point now is the attitude which these devotees have, these different devotees. The conventional devotee is usually found to ask something from Krishna. Oh Lord, give me a mercy dispense. I remember I was doing Jamashtami. There were these conventional devotees coming. They came, oh Maharaj, what do we do? We are building a house, and there are many obstacles. I said, what have you done to overcome these obstacles? And they said, we have prayed to Krishna and we want your blessing now that we can build the house. I said, perhaps you have obstacles in building your house because you are poor. And the house costs much more than you can afford. Perhaps you should not go with such unrealistic expectations to God, but scale down your material desires. Ugh, that was not a nice sentence for a conventional devotee, and I knew it. I just wanted to make a psychological study and see their reaction, and yes, it was predictable. So the attitude of a committed devotee is he wants to not just get something from Krishna, he tries to surrender as much time and service as possible. Such a devotee will say, it's not about me, it's about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada once, I believe definitely Prabhupada is a committed devotee, but I will give an example Prabhupada is a confidential devotee, as I will point out in a moment, but he spoke also like a committed devotee. To when he preached to us, he said, I have a motto. My motto is everything for Krishna and nothing for me. Wow, this is a different from a conventional devotee, no? Everything for me and 2 pennies for Krishna. The confidential devotee has still a different attitude. He wants to have an intimate relationship with Krishna, intimacy with Krishna. They place Krishna's desires above themselves and at all times, and become what is called in Sanskrit kinkaris. Kinkaris, this word is appearing in the fifth verse of the Shikshastakam, which we will sing today at the beginning of the workshop, because it is, how do you say, giving the theme of our of today in regards to chanting, only in regards to chanting. No? Kinkari is a devotee, it's a position of a devotee who asked, King Karo. King means what, and Karo means can I do? He's a servant, in other words, who comes to the master and says, what can I do today? Please tell me. It is in this mood where chanting is most quickly bringing results. There is a verse which we will chant in the workshop, but I don't want to keep it a secret from you now. I don't know if we have the verse, but it's so well known that you can chant it with me, I think. Ahi nanda tanuya kinkaram patitamam visame babaham budho kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. Did you notice? Ahi nanda tanuya kinkaram. No. Oh, here's a translation for you. Would you like to hear? Oh, my Lord, oh Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your servant. But because of my own selfish acts, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of birth and death, actually of nescience. Now please be causelessly merciful unto me. Consider me a piece of dust at your lotus feet. It is a beautiful poesy. Krishna's feet are like a lotus. They are always standing above the material world, and we are like these, flower dust. You know what this is? It's in pollen. Yes, we say in American English also pollen. We say the same. It's very similar. the pollen, it belongs to the lotus. Flower. In the same way, Mahaprabhu says, I belong to you. It's unnatural if the dust is somewhere else than stuck to the lotus. No, in the same way, it's an unnatural situation for me to be separated from you and struggle for existence in this huge ocean of nations. Now you please take me to you. This is called longing. Everyone within you has many longings. You just need to go to Maslow's pyramid of needs, then you will. The first longing is for food, shelter, sexual gratification. These are one level of longings. They are more on the body. But there are other longings more placed on the level of the mind. We want to have the feeling that we are secure or that we are appreciated. Do not like to be insecure without any connection and appreciation. We have these types of desires also in us. Now, when we go very, very deep, or when we go deeper, there's also a part in us that has very spiritual longings, that turns to God. And sometimes these longings come out when we are in shock. My father told me that when they were they had dug trenches before Stalingrad, that's a town in Russia, this is the German army. The trenches means digging the earth and just hiding and then firing relentlessly. The Red Army came back to them and fired their haubitzen and everything. The Germans lost. They didn't have enough people to withstand the attack. And he said, every one of us started to pray due to the shock, you know, the bomb shells exploding. People were, comrades were crying because their arm was shot away from them or you know, like this. Then they turned, oh, Vater unser, der du bist im Himmel, geheiligt werde dein Name, dein Reich komme. Yes, even Nazis prayed. Because in every one of us there is this deeper side which is unfortunately so terribly covered in our lives that we just can't access it. We have no access. We are always busy. Oh, what's there to eat? Oh, Kitri again, Kitri. we think, how do we look? Beard, yes or no? You know, and so on. We are caught in this body and mind, you know. Do they still like me or will they like me tomorrow? I don't think I found my community. You know, like this, no? So we are on this level. But when we can access the deeper part in us, you will see, we want Krishna very much. Very, very much. And there is a part in us which sometimes says, especially when things don't go the way we wish, there's a part which wants to close this chapter of being interested in beards and likes and being on the bodily and mental mind level. There is a part in us which, believe it or not, is able to cry spiritual tears for Krishna. In 1969, Prabhupada instructed the devotees to cry prayerfully while chanting Krishna's names. Can I read this for you? So we are addressing Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. O energy of the Lord, O the Lord, please accept me. That's all. Please accept me. We have no other prayer. Please accept me. Lord Chaitanya taught that we should simply cry and we shall simply pray for accepting us. That's all. That's all. What was it? What should we do? Cry and then just cry and things didn't go my way. How should we cry? Pray to be what? Except thank you. And this is the, do you recognize? This is the core. That's the mood in which you chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada continues. So this vibration is simply a cry for addressing the Lord, the Supreme Lord, requesting Him, please accept me. Please accept me. If you want bhakti, devotion for Krishna, this is the method. You chant and you are in that mood. I'm not so... Kittery or not kittery, not a problem. Bird or not a bird, not a problem. I have other things in my mind now. I want to come to you because without you, my heart will continue to bleed. Prabhupada confirms this in another place. It's in Bhagavatam 3:4:35. He says, this crying is the last word in the progressive path of devotional service. One who can cry for the Lord in love is certainly successful in the line of devotional service. Now, there are four different types of tears, or in this context, four different types of crying. And you will know one crying very much. You will perhaps know also another crying, second type of crying, but you will be shy to admit that you know it. And then there are two other more spiritual forms. The first type of tears are the tears of the samsarika. What is a samsarika? Is it a bird? No, a samsarika is someone who is caught in the wheel of birth and death. It's someone who goes in the wheel of samsara. He or she cries out of frustration. The Bhagavatam actually points out that there is an ocean of tears. Salty ocean of tears from all the conditioned souls. I wouldn't like to bathe in that ocean. I think I will come out totally depressed. So a Madhvacharya also says, if you would add all the tears of the conditioned souls, you will in the end obtain an ocean of tears. So I think samsarika tears are unavoidable. Have you sometimes cried samsarika tears? There was perhaps physical pain, which was almost intolerable. And worse still than physical pain, there was when we really felt betrayed, disappointed, hurt, hopeless, etc. These more mental tears, no? That they are unavoidable because this is what it means, material life, no? Then there are the second form of tears. I take the second form from Keshava Maharaj again. It's the Prakrita Sahajiya. That's the tears of a pretender who knows, oh, when I cry in the association of devotees, they will think that I am very advanced in love of Godhead. Let me just put some, what was it? Pepper mixed with umaboshi plums and a little horseradish, and that will work. That's the recipe of Tom Cruise when he needs to cry for money in the movie, you know. So, or some can do it also without this mixture or any other mixture. I'm emotionally moved by Krishna consciousness. that is, don't laugh. There are many who do this. You might have done it many times. Then there are the tears, which are the third category of tears. The tears of the sadhaka. It's the practitioner who comes to a state where he is disillusioned with mixed forms of bhakti, which he still allows himself to do. And he thinks, I must close this embarrassing chapter of being in between a devotee and a materialist, no? And he cries to Krishna, "Oh, Krishna, I missed the point for so long." And he gets this real humility. Rupa Goswami says, identifies three or four causes of humility, and one cause of humility is when you realize, I made a mistake. But not just I made a mistakes everyone makes. Every day we make some small mistakes, I think. But here I speak of the greater mistake, no? The sadhaka thinks, oops, my Krishna consciousness, I've really missed the point. I'm really not on the track. After all these years, my chanting requires really an urgent overhaul. I must really do. This is the third form of tears, and the fourth point of tears is the tears of the perfected soul. I have seen Srila Prabhupada crying at my dear devotee. That was so moving and so impactful, crying for Krishna. In Srila Mayapur, doing a lecture, I think, not doing the lecture, it was, as far as I remember, during Radha Madhava, when he sang Radha Madhava, and was overcome with the meaning of what he was singing, you know. So, yes. So these are the different types of tears. We want to progress from worldly tears for worldly things to tears for Krishna. The tears which a sadhaka can cry. Siddha is a little thing. But at this moment you may say, stop, Maharaj. We don't need another irrelevant talk which doesn't relate to our condition. Don't always talk of these high things, sadhaka tears. Who cries sadhaka tears? I have not seen one sadhaka in our community cry. I have seen that they cry before they go to the dentist, but nothing more, or after the dentist, and so on. Stop, please. How can we cry for someone we've never known? How do you expect us to imbue our chanting with some emotions? This does not work. It has not worked. It is not working. It will not work. Bas. Hare Krishna. Now I cry. No.
This we hear. This we hear. We don't hear it maybe expressed with words, but the minds are screaming this out. The minds of those who do not know the power of a very, very important tool in Krishna consciousness. It's called Krishna Katha. As we listen about Krishna's form, his qualities, his pastimes, and especially his love for his devotees and the love of the devotees for Krishna, even a stone-like heart will develop good emotions, spiritual emotions for Krishna. This was the case with the Dvijapatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas. They lived in a village it's close to Akruragat. It's outside of Vrindavan as it is now, but they did not have contact with Krishna. However, their husbands were performing ritualistic yajna. They were, we would call them smartas, brahmanas, and they needed for this coconuts, they needed a supply of clay pots and flowers, and the simple people from Vrindavan would come and sell these products to the yajna parties. And as they were selling, you know, and having this deal, these people said, "I saw Krishna today." If I may ask? Krishna. Who? Well, he's the son of Nanda Maharaj. You know, when he left today the village to do cow herding, he's a cowherd. Yeah, but a very special one. Listen to this. He played with his flute. And then the river started turn around in his direction and flow to him. Wow. And then from nowhere, clouds came and shaded him so that he would not be pierced by the rays of the scorching sun. And do you know what he did? No, said the yajna party. No idea. He smiled. Why did he smile? Well, he smiled because he thought, you, the cloud, and me, we are the same. You drizzle down the rain and free the people from their heat. And by my darshan, I free the people from the hot fever of material existence. We are both buddhidas. We are welfare workers. Wow, he said this? Yeah, he whispered it to a friend. He doesn't talk so openly about it. But he is the Lord. But we don't care if he is the Lord. For us, he is our village boy. Same boy, same village. So this is how they heard. And as they heard more and more about Krishna, they thought, wow, we must meet him. Who is another example of a great devotee who had not met Krishna, but by hearing about Krishna, longed to meet him to such an extent that she actually wanted to marry him? Rukmini, you know everything. Rukmini heard from whom about Krishna? Narada. What was Narada doing in her life?
I think you all remember he came to the palace and he gave Krishna Katha to the name to his, her father. I think her father was Maharaj Bhishmaka, isn't it? I think, yes. And a little girl, Rukmini, little 8 years ago, the maidservant says, "Princess, princess, Narada is back." Little girl ran through the palace, sat down and listened to Narada Muni praising Krishna. And when time for her marriage came, she said, "No." In ISKCON language, "No way." She said, "I only want to marry Krishna." And she wrote a love letter for Krishna. It's a real powerful letter. She says, "I don't want to marry these stool pits." Means husbands, you know, who have a body which produces this and that and so on. No need to go into the detail before breakfast. So, by hearing about Krishna, you will develop also some longing for Krishna. It's natural when we hear about someone who's special. We want to be in their association. Yes. So, my dear devotees, find those places where you can hear about Krishna. Find those books where you can hear about Krishna. Because all this will fan your flames. It will fan those desires which are a part of everyone. It's not that we... it's innate. Innate means it's inside of us, this desire, but not in on the surface level of our personality. You do have to find that part, no? And then, my dear devotees, sing with longing for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, "Those under the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can understand that his mood of worship of the Supreme Lord in separation, you know, with longing, oh, I long for you, to whom I'm separated. They can understand that his mode of worship of the Supreme Lord in separation is the real worship of Krishna. Actually, meeting Krishna is possible. It is possible through the attitude of separation taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the feeling of separation becomes very intense, one attains the stage of meeting Krishna. When I feel separated from my friend in Jamaica, I will remain separated from him. I will not meet him. But when the feeling of longing for Krishna and separation becomes intense, you feel his presence somehow, because he's not material. Thinking of Krishna, chanting his name, anything with Krishna is Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Touch Krishna in some ways. So I want to conclude with something for those of us who will sing kirtans and chant. Let us sing and chant with the voice of... Let us not sing and chant with the voice of the body, because the body will become tired. No, I saw some devotees from London, they are chronically tired. The town is not good for you. Give a program to the devotees from London. You will have 50% under the table. Well, it's not that bad, but they are chronically tired because that's London, you know. So let us not sing with the voice of the body. The body will become tired. Let us not even sing with the voice of the mind, because the mind will become distracted. You know everything. You have a mind, it seems. Let us find that part in us where these eternal longings are there. Let us sing with the voice of the soul, because the soul does not become tired and the soul does not become detracted. Distracted is the English word. So the voice of the soul is, oh Krishna, I really miss you. I'm crying, yes. I'm crying for so many things, but behind all my tears, there is only one motive. I cry for you. I once wrote a poem, and I don't learn my own poems by heart, but it is something like this. My Lord, don't trust me. When you see me crying, I will give my tears different names, meaning I cry for this, I cry for that. But if you look deep into my heart, you will find your own beautiful image reflected there, because I'm really crying only for you. So don't trust me when I cry other tears. Yes. Srila Prabhupada introduced us to this prayerful chanting, this chanting where we are in contact with our actual personality, not the surface level personality with which we are so busy throughout our precious little wild lives. Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Finished! Okay. I'm a little bit earlier than normal, so this is good. I have time for a few precise questions. Yes. Vishwambar. Yes, Vishwambar.
How do you recommend, Maharaj, I increase my desire to hear Krishna Katha?
How to increase the desire for Krishna, for hearing Krishna Katha? First of all, we must know the narrations about Krishna are about a person whom we wish to get to know. We are, after all, in the movement for Krishna consciousness. So I think there's a reason why we are in this movement and not in another. You must know in order to increase a relationship, you need to know more about the person. I think we all know this. When we find a person distantly attractive, let us say we find a certain sannyasi, we like his ways, we like his kirtans perhaps. Or let me give another example. Certain Vaishnav in our movement. Let us, you know, and we have some distant liking, but we are not yet close. We really actually don't know so much about the person. At that time, we want to get to know about him more, and we do so by hearing about him. I noticed in my life that I was initiated by Srila Prabhupada when I was young, and I only knew him from reading typed lectures, because I couldn't understand his Bengali accent. I was very young and I had been very bad in English, you know. I used to say, I didn't learn anything in the school. I was so terribly bored in school that I didn't know English when I came to Krishna consciousness. So I only knew Prabhupada by reading, and then I had a dictionary and I wrote the whole pages was full of the German words for the vocabularies. So that's how I found out that I'm his disciple. Shouldn't I know a little bit what he thinks and his instructions? And I became very interested to hear about Prabhupada and read his Lilamrita, because I felt that is a need in my life. So Krishna Katha is really interesting only for those who see they have a need for Krishna. They need to come closer to Krishna. You need to first work on that point. Otherwise, you will think Krishna Katha is boring. I see this in Buriram Prabhu, myself and others have seen this in ISKCON. When you talk about Krishna, devotees leave the room. But if you talk about the newest scandals, wow, and what's up here, he listened to this, you know. And because we know often more about ISKCON than about Krishna. Hare Krishna. Because that's what is immediately in our surrounding. Krishna is a little distant. But this will not help you to think on that level. I am a member of ISKCON. ISKCON is the best I found in society. But it has a goal. It wants to bring us to Krishna consciousness. International Society for ISKCON Consciousness. No, that's not the word. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's about that. So you need to, in the beginning, just see, well, I don't really know so much about Krishna. And you need to find within yourself the motivation, I would love to know a little bit about him. And the moment you do that, you will see where can you find further informations. But Krishna Katha is not interesting for those who are not interested in Krishna. Also for the Hare Krishna. They call themselves Hare Krishnas, but are they? Have they joined the movement? So yes, this is... then you will do it. And in the beginning, Vishvamba, it's like with all these spiritual things, we are
we are creatures of darkness. When something with light comes, we are off, you know. And it's just like chanting in the beginning is, not in the very beginning, but sometimes chanting 16 rounds, some devotees find it difficult because the taste is not yet there for Krishna. But as the Rupa Goswami says, although this is the case, you have to repeatedly take this medicine of hearing and chanting about his Krishna's name. And he gives the analogy. Someone who's sick with jaundice doesn't like sweet sugar. Only someone whose disease is cured can even taste the sweetness in sugar. You know, do you have experience of this? It's strange, isn't it? When you have jaundice, you won't believe. You take the sugar and I forgot how it tastes, but you don't taste anything sweet. It tastes bitter, or what does it? Yeah, it. But that's not true. Sugar is sweet. Ask the people who are not sick, and you will get a good answer on this. So, in the beginning, the holy name is like that. It's sweet, but for us, these dark creatures. Three years ago, I saw a real dragon. I saw actually three of them. They live under the earth. They were born in a cave of, it's like 20 kilometers big, this cave. It's 20 is maybe a little big, 15. And they were born there. And they are totally white. They never ever saw light, but they can find their way in the darkness. You can find them in Slovenia, and they are this small, but they are called dragons. They're very old, ancient. No one knows how they multiply. Perhaps by looking or so, no one has ever seen, but they are very strange creatures which science has not yet been able to find. And we were warned, please, 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 no flashlights, nothing. They cannot digest any light. You know, that was forbidden to take a photo of them. So we are like this, no light for us. We were born in a cave called the material universe. And in the beginning it's a little tough, but when you want to become Krishna, but it's also not tough. You have to come to that part within you. That part is there. That part is perhaps crying since a long, long time. Why doesn't Vishvambar hear me? Where is he? You know, that part is there, the part of the soul, the other soul. Good. Hare Krishna. So now, looking at the clock, I need to end here. Vishvambar asked a wonderful question, I think, which is there for everyone. I have this question also. I'm starting to read. I'm reading more and more, and I like it very much by now, most of the time. I would like to now end this class. I thank you very much for listening attentively. In the workshop, we will learn how to implement this into our chanting. We will mostly chant, but in this mood which
Srila Prabhupada says, brings the quick success of a devotee in the mood of these eternal longings. All the best. I wish you a wonderful day. Today is, what do we have? Friday? Yeah, Friday. So we have, this is the full day, a complete full day. Normal schedule. Tomorrow we already close. So that it's not so painful. We have a long session of kirtan in the afternoon, and then on Sunday is only one class. So tomorrow is two presentations, I get mixed up. I have it on my piece of paper. What is important for you is today, please come at 11 o'clock to the community hall where we do all our gatherings. 11 o'clock. You have now 2 hours free time, and please use it wisely. See you then. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.